Joining me now here in the studio is Kwame Raoul. He's a state senator from Chicago. He's also one of the 8 Democratic candidates for attorney general. Senator, thank you so much for joining me this morning.
Thanks for having me, Rick. I think we need to check out the credentials of the White House physician.
Now, to a point, he has been physician for many years, so he's not like that guy that they had pictures of that was Trump's personal physician.
Well,
you remember those pictures.
Longevity by itself doesn't, you know, determine capacity.
Determinations. All right. Okay. So we won't talk about your tenure in this in the legislature then.
It hasn't been that long as compared to my roommate who just retired.
Donnie Trotter.
Right.
Yes, yes. After, what, 30 years, I think,
correct.
is Senator Trotter. And congratulations on your retirement, by the way. So were you surprised that Lisa Madigan decided not to seek re-election?
Very much so. No, I think we were well into the sort of political season where folks had decided what offices they were going to run for, particularly for statewide constitutional offices. And so it was very much of a surprise. I had intended on just watching other races and being involved in other campaigns, and I certainly didn't intend on being a candidate myself at the time.
Your name always would come up among offices that might be going vacant in a higher office kind of way, but I think you always were interested in the attorney general's spot.
Most certainly. I 4 years ago, when many were anticipating that potentially the speaker would step down and Lisa would run for governor, I was eyeing the attorney general's office because I think it's a great office of advocacy, of being an attorney for the state, but also an advocate for the state, both from a bully pulpit perspective as well as a legislative advocacy. So it would be a job where I wouldn't really be leaving the job that I have now, but yet I would have a sort of an enforcement arm to enforce the policy that much of which I've sponsored in the legislature.
A lot of the candidates are looking at this office as a Illinois way to counter Donald Trump. How do you see that?
I think that's a portion of it, but they're the day-to-day problems we have right here in Illinois, whether it's Donald Trump or anybody else in the presidency. You talk about gun violence, a perception of government, public corruption, access to health care generally, whether or not you have a federal government trying to undermine the Affordable Care Act. There's also the question of, you know, these safety net hospitals and communities, and to what extent are funding mechanisms going to keep these vital institutions open in communities who are in desperate need of health care. So there are issues beyond just Donald Trump. Yeah, we've got to deal with, I disagree with the White House doc. We got to deal with Donald Trump. I was at a conference of attorney generals where the attorney generals were talking about how they were banding together to deal with the effort to undermine the Affordable Care Act. You know, for me, it's personal on that level because, you know, I'm a 2-year cancer survivor myself, and I had the access to the health care to be detected early and to have the coverage to make sure that I had the surgery to take care of my cancer. And knock on wood, I've got a good prognosis, but not everybody necessarily is similarly situated.
When you look at what Lisa Madigan has done as Attorney General, is there something you would do differently, or is there some priority that you would, or priorities that you would advance?
Well, certainly. Well, let me start with this: what I've done with Lisa Madigan. First off, we talked about public corruption. You know, I think the best cleanser to public corruption is sunshine, and so I actually sponsored. Lisa was advocating for it. The bill that created the public access counselor in the Attorney General's office. The problem that exists is that public access counselor's office is overwhelmed and overburdened. It's a backlog, and so we have to make sure we appropriately resource. It's not enough that you have a public access counselor.
Why don't you explain just what that is? I mean,
so if either at the local level or even the state governmental level, there's a request for information under the Freedom of Information Act or
a complaint
under the Open Meetings Act. There's not, you know, as a result of the legislation I sponsored, there's an officer within the Attorney General's office that you can appeal to appeal a denial of a claim at the local level. I think that office can also reach out to local governments and state governmental agencies to make sure that best practices are being put into place. So not just be a reactive office, but a proactive office. One of the things that, you know, I've had some conversations with the Press Association about possibly legislation to prioritize certain claims that are commonly
abused.
Right. And so we're looking at that. I don't have to wait till I'm Attorney General to do some of these things. You know, the interesting thing about the idea of my running for Attorney General, it's continuity for me. I've worked on law enforcement reform prior to the revelation of a Laquan McDonald video. It didn't take that for me to start talking about that. An area that I think the Attorney General has been fairly quiet on is criminal justice reform. There's sort of bipartisan consensus that this is an area that we can do a lot in. I actually penned a letter with Bruce Rauner at the beginning of his tenure indicating that we should work on that. I served on the Criminal Justice Reform Commission that was chaired by Roger Heaton, who's now his chief of staff, and Roger did a fine job there. You know, Rick, one of the things that I pride myself on, my first day in the legislature, my predecessor, Barack Obama, pulled me into his office and he says, best advice I could give you is spend some time with people from other parts of the state and people on the other side of the aisle. It'll benefit you when you least expect it. I've worked in a bipartisan manner throughout my tenure in the legislature. I think if you ask people on both sides of the aisle about my work ethic and my willingness to negotiate, you get a good response with regards to that.
We're speaking with Kwame Raoul. He's Democratic candidate for Attorney General and currently state senator from Chicago. I'm Rick Pearson. This is the Sunday Spin. Welcome back to the Sunday Spin. I'm Rick Pearson of the Chicago Tribune here in the Allstate Showcase Studio and Tribune Tower on Michigan Avenue. Joining me here in the studio is State Senator Kwame Raoul from Chicago. He is among the 8 Democratic candidates seeking the nomination for Attorney General in the March 20 primary. We're talking about kind of priorities and prioritization. And you mentioned the efforts as far as criminal justice reform. And I think we are at kind of this very interesting time where what used to be perceived are issues of being soft on crime. You now see Republicans and conservative Republicans and perhaps looking at it more as a fiscal issue, but nevertheless, there's the social aspect and cost issue, and they've all kind of melded together into forwarding issues on criminal justice reforms.
Well, you know, and it's important to recognize that it's a question of public safety as well. It's not just a fiscal concern, but, you know, to the extent that you're not rehabilitating offenders and you're not diverting those who ought not be going to prison and to community rehabilitation, then you're sending people to be trained to be better criminals. You're overcrowding prisons, and you're not doing the rehabilitation that you are. It is called a Department of Corrections. If you're not correcting, people get released. And if you don't do the rehabilitative work, then you're not promoting public safety. It doesn't mean that you don't have individualized treatment of offenders. So that it doesn't mean that you don't treat a dangerous offender as a dangerous offender. We have this gun violence problem. I've attacked it from several angles. I've said those who are repeat gun offenders, those who keep on hitting the streets with guns, loaded guns, ought to be treated seriously. They ought to be incapacitated. But then I've also said that we have to deal with the flow of guns. And so I heard your prior interview, and there was conversation about consensus on background checks. Well, I passed the background checks bill that closed the loophole on private transfers of guns. And so I think there is consensus on that, and that's why we passed that. That's why we made sure that in the law that we're trying to keep guns out of those who have mental instability or who have prior convictions, and that we make sure that when their FOID card expires and they may still have possession of a FOID card that appears to be valid, there's a responsibility on behalf of the individual who is transferring or selling the gun to make sure that that FOID card is currently valid.
Yeah, I think I remember when there was an audit done about how these, you know, you had FOID cards that had been revoked, but they didn't go and get them.
Right.
And that...
And gun dealer licensing was mentioned, and to be clear, gun dealer licensing was passed out of the Senate with my help in the chamber that I serve. And so when those who throw stones at the legislature, they need to understand the structure of the legislature. But one of the things that it's people always point at the legislature at large like it's one person. We have a
diverse... Well, it is. It's Mike Madigan, isn't it?
We have a diverse state with diversity on both sides of the aisle. You know, may have less diversity on one side of the aisle, but you have diversity in every sense of the word diversity. And every community is not Highland Park. There's a lot more diversity in the state than reflected in Highland Park. You know, there's poverty within the city of Chicago, within certain suburbs, within certain rural areas, and there's a diversity of views. And so when you have a representative democracy, it's not so as easy as saying, oh, the legislature should do this. It has to be compromise, negotiation. I've been known for taking on bills that are hot bills, the middle of the highway bills where you get hit by traffic going both directions. But leadership requires that you take on those assignments. Otherwise, we don't move things forward. And sometimes things are done incrementally. When we abolished the death penalty, which I sponsored the bill in here in Illinois, that didn't happen overnight. We knew for a while that we were second to the state of Florida in the number of people that we sent to death row for crimes that did not commit. But still, notwithstanding that knowledge, it didn't happen overnight. We had to incrementally move there. And it's so easy for people to say, to sit in their homogenous areas and say, oh, the legislature should do this or that. But we have a diverse state, and it's good. That's, diversity is good, and debate is good.
A lot of talk always about public corruption and what's the role of the Attorney General when it comes to that. And, I mean, everything from the old issue of statewide grand juries mm-hmm. to, well, there's only so much the Attorney General can do because it's up to the local state's attorneys to prosecute. Where are you as far as the office and public corruption?
So the office as it stands right now, you know, we don't know everything that the Attorney General does with regards to public corruption, because we shouldn't know. If there's a private conversation between, if there's an investigation and the cooperation between the Attorney Generals and federal authorities or state authorities, that's the type of thing that shouldn't happen.
Actually, I think the only time we ever knew was when Lisa Madigan released the letter saying that the U.S. Attorney's Office asked her not to stop looking into Blagojevich because he was doing it.
Right. And that happens frequently, more frequently than
we know.
That said, you know, there are attorney generals throughout the country who are more active from a prosecutorial standpoint because they're empowered to be so active, and they are funded to be so active. And it's an area for debate. You know, we can expand the grand jury powers of the Attorney General's office, but we must make sure that that Attorney General's office is equipped to effectively prosecute such matters. Where it stands right now, there's still capacity to, at the local level and even at the state level to collaborate with local state's attorneys. And that should be done whenever a matter of question of public corruption is raised. Well, absolutely.
Some have said, you know, maybe just because you can't prosecute it doesn't mean you can't investigate it. And then refer it. You know.
You can absolutely investigate it, and you can collaborate and participate in the prosecution along with a local prosecutor.
What area do you think Lisa Madigan's been deficient in that you would... You would move more forcefully.
You know, the characterization of deficient, I think every individual has their prioritization. It's a very broad office, and everybody has their own stamp of what they want the office to be. One of the areas that I don't think she's necessarily been deficient in, but I think we need to do more in terms of examining, is victims' resources reaching the most victimized communities. We have a problem of gun violence. That gun violence problem, and that violence problem in general, creates a trauma. If you go into a lot of the elementary schools in Chicago and some of the surrounding suburbs where they've gutted the schools of school counselors, there's a mental trauma that a lot of these kids have gone through by just normalized violence in their neighborhoods. I myself have had to go to home to my kids on several occasions because of gunfire directly outside of my home. I had to go home to my 13-year-old son at the time and tell him that a 13-year-old boy was caught, was shot across the street from my home. That's traumatic. I by far don't live in the worst neighborhood in Chicago, so the trauma that my kids experience is nowhere near that other kids and adults experience in high violence neighborhoods. I sponsored a bill to pilot trauma recovery centers in these high violence neighborhoods because there's plenty of data to show that this trauma, untreated trauma, that leads to a situation where violence begets violence. You have somebody who starts out as a victim, and if you don't treat that trauma, they may evolve to become a perpetrator. And so when we try to deal with this violence problem, yes, I sponsored a bill to hold repeat gun offenders accountable, but there's no single solution to this violence problem. And part of that, the solution is to deal with this trauma in these neighborhoods and have resources directed. Nobody talks about the Attorney General's office as one that can direct resources, and it can.
Senator Kwame Raoul, where can people find more information about your campaign?
www.kwameraoul.com. That's KWAMERAOUL. I know it's an unusual name. I'm of Haitian descent, and I don't come from an asshole.